introduction. Thanks for the invitation to be here. This is a great turnout. We had one of these workshops in Boise last year. It was also a success, so congratulations to the organizing committee for the great job done. So, my name is Ronaldo Cook. I am from Brazil. Lived in Brazil for about 19 years. So, if you think about cattle with aggressive disposition, I have some pretty good experience with that. Not only by being from Brazil, but we know we are all passionate about bull riding down there, and we're pretty good at it too. If you think about all the PBR champs we had in the last few years. So that's why I try to focus on this area, not only because it's a very interesting, but also because, every time I give a talk about cattle disposition, aggressive animals, and say that I'm from Brazil, people connect the dots, Brazil bull riding, aggressive bulls, PBR champs, and of course, success. So I'm going to focus today on how disposition, aggressive disposition, and also how proper handling or inappropriate handling can impact reproduction in beef cattle. So, first of all, what's temperament, what's disposition? And this is something that I think we all thought about at least once in our lives. Basically, it's the behavior responses of cattle when exposed to human handling. So as the disposition becomes more excitable, the responses of that animal to the human contact becomes more agitated or aggressive. In our industry nowadays, there is some selection for temperament, and sometimes we refer to that as docility. It's a heritable trait, so if you have a cow that's aggressive or excitable, there's a pretty good chance that her calf is also going to be or also going to have a similar temperament. And nowadays, we mainly do that for some safety reasons. Of course, we want to work on a safe environment. We want to prevent injuries. We want to prevent disasters. But I guess my goal on my research program is also to show, an extension program too, is also to show that temperament has some pretty significant implications on production in beef cattle systems. So how do we assess temperament? It's pretty easy to go out on pasture, look at that cow with the high head, and say, well, that's an excitable cow, or if they have that one that's your fair cow, and this is a pretty calm animal. But on a research standpoint, we have to come up with some methods to evaluate temperament in cattle that are reliable. You can actually have some. Can be done, in a commercial or practical situation, and can be translated into producers and explain how cattle react during human contact. So the first one that we use a lot, which is the shoot score, and we evaluate the response, the behavior response of cattle when restrained in the shoot on a 1 to 5 scale according to the cow behavior. So it's pretty easy to do when you bring the cows or the steers or the heifers to the shoot to vaccinate, palpate, get a body weight, things like that. So evaluate on a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being a calm animal with no movement, really easy going, 2, 3s, and finally the 5s, which are the ones that you have to open the gate. Otherwise, you have to buy a new chute. So I think we all have experiences with chute scores going from 1 to 5. Everybody here, ever heard about chute score at least once in their lives? No, yes? Okay. So this is something that we do in our research station, and the picture, it's doesn't show very good. But we have a chute right here. I have a student right next to the chute, and he's evaluating the way the steer behaves during chute restraining and assigning a chute score to that animal. Something else that we also do is the exit velocity. Whoever heard about exit velocity here? Good. Or exit score. So we actually measure the speed that the animal when it leaves the chute. So basically, we set up some sensors in front of the chute right here. This is, the same sensors that you use for barrel racing, for instance, cost about $1,000. We measure how fast that animal leaves the chute. And usually, the faster the animal, the more excitable it's his or her temperament. So we can actually use with those sensors and actually measure the velocity because we know the distance. We know how long it took for the animal to travel the distance. So we come up with the exit velocity. Or if you don't have access to that equipment, you can do a visual exit score, which is 1, the animal that walks away, 2, the animals that trots away, from the chute and three animals that runs away from the chute. It's always nice to have those sensors at least 7 feet apart, you know, to have a pretty good estimate of exit velocity. If they're too close or too far apart, the measurement isn't that reliable. So they're usually pretty well correlated. I like to do both because sometimes, I mean, the animal's right there, so doing the chute score and exit velocity right away, I mean, takes about 4 seconds of my time. Doesn't, you know, delay the whole vaccination palpation process. So it's a pretty good methods to use on a commercial situation. So if you correlate both, usually the cows with a pretty high chute score, they also have pretty fast exit velocities. And I like doing both because sometimes you have an animal that's so aggressive that she pretty much freezes up in the chute. She's so stressed, she stops moving, you know. And you think, well, that's a, you know, good temperament cow, but in fact, she's so stressed that she just frozen. On the other hand, you have that animal that's jumping up and down the chute. When you open the gate, she just trips and falls down. So he pretty much loses her exit velocity. So doing both evaluations kind of offsets each one's deficiencies. And something that I also like to do is to come up with a temperament score. So what I do is, when I have my exit velocities, let's say I have 100 cows in my herd, so the 20 cows with the fastest exit velocities, they get a score of 5, and the 20 cows with the slowest exit velocities, they get a number 1 or exit score. So by doing that, I average the chute score and the exit score, and I come up with the overall temperament score. And this is all in the proceedings if you guys need more details about how to come up with this temperament score. And being from the West, and we all know the problems we have in the West with predators, for instance, wolves, mountain lions, bears, something that I came up with to facilitate the dissemination of this data in the field is this temperament criteria, which is cows with, or, you know, steers, heifers with temperament less than 3, they have what I call the adequate temperament. And cows with a temperament score more than 3, they have an excitable temperament. And we're looking for those cows with 3 and less, okay? Perhaps a cow with a temperament score of 3, she can be a little flighty, but in the West we need that, especially in the summer when they're grazing the mountains or the range, okay, to chase them wolves back to Idaho, for instance. So to be able to protect their offspring, to be able to search or, you know, look for feed sources and water sources, we need some temperament on those animals for them to be able to survive in the range. Same thing in a feedlot situation, for instance. If you have an animal that's too calm, is going to be beat up, you know, when searching for feed in the feed bunk. So you need some temperament for that animal to be aggressive in terms of, you know, going after feed, but not too aggressive to prevent or to detriment performance. So factors that affect temperament. This is universal across all species in this planet. Females are more temperamental than males, especially the young ones, okay? And production system. Animals on range situations, because they don't have frequent interaction with humans, they usually are a little more aggressive than those raised on more intensive scenarios. And also breed type. Being from Brazil, you know, going to grad school in Florida, I got used to those Brahman or Nellore type cattle, and they are indeed more temperamental than the Angus, Hereford, Simmental type of breeds. And also the way we handle those animals. We can turn a calm cow into an aggressive one, and we can turn an aggressive cow into a savage beast, okay? We can do that by not handling them properly, and I think we all know, or we all heard the last few years about proper handling, you know, how to handle animals humanly, you know, low stress handling, things like that. And this is really important to prevent stress of those excitable animals during any handling process. So what's the relationship between temperament, handling stress, and production, especially reproduction in this case? Well, anytime the animal shows a aggressive or excitable behavior, it's actually a stress response, okay? We all know this is the stress section of this meeting. So what is stress? Stress is anything, any factor, or stressor is any factor that drives you and me and the cow away from its comfort zone. So let's say that, you know, being from Brazil, my optimal temperature, you know, environmental temperature is about 85 degrees. And for me, it's pretty damn cold outside. So I'm outside my comfort zone, okay? So I become, you know, cold stress. Same thing with heat stress. So an animal with excitable temperament, she's not comfortable about around humans. Okay, so she's not comfortable being around humans. That's why she displays such an excitable temperament. Okay, she's stressed. And every time you have a stress reaction, you have a chain hormonal cascade or a hormonal cascade that culminates in cortisol production, for instance, that has some pretty good, pretty deep implications in production traits. So remember, temperament or aggressive temperament is usually tied to fear. Animals are afraid being around humans. So that's why they become stressed and display that excitable temperament. So like I said, every time you have a stress response, you have a hormonal cascade that, you know, ends up with epinephrine, cortisol production, and inflammation. We do a lot of work with cortisol, which is easy to measure. It's a good and reliable source or hormone to evaluate stress in cattle and also humans. And we've seen that every time you have cattle with aggressive temperament, so temperament score above 4, 3 and 4, you have pretty high cortisol concentration. So this is blood samples from replacement Brangus heifers. Again, a pretty nice correlation between temperament and score and blood cortisol. So as temperament becomes more aggressive, cortisol in the blood goes up. Same thing with cows. And even with the more docile Angus Hereford mature cows, we also see the same relationship in terms of a temperament score and plasma cortisol. Of course, in the Burns Oregon herd, we didn't have any fives, you know, because they're long gone. And I'm going to explain the importance of selecting the herd for a good disposition. So what's the role of cortisol during stress response? So basically, if a guy came on, you know, through those doors with a shotgun and said, "Ronaldo, I'm going to shoot you. You know, I'm going to become stressed because I don't like to be shot at." So my body prepares itself for two responses, the fight or flight. Okay, either I'm going to go after that guy and try to take the shotgun away from him, or I'm going to run as fast as I can. So the body produces cortisol, which breaks down a bunch of tissues, you know, muscle tissues, fat tissues, to basically free up nutrients in the bloodstream to support this fight or flight response. But when you have a response like that, especially the cortisol one, you also have some side effects on growth, immune response, and reproduction. So focusing on the CRH, ACTH, cortisol axis. So CRH is the first hormone in the brain that's produced during a stress reaction. Goes down to the pituitary, produces ACTH, and down to the adrenal gland, cortisol. So those hormones, they have a pretty deep impact on the GnRH, LH, FSH, ovarian axis. And you all know how important those hormones are for reproduction. And also for pregnancy, because we all know that cortisol is one of the hormones that actually trigger parturition or pregnancy termination in cattle. Something else that I'd like to point out is the indirect effects. When you have an aggressive animal, you know, grazing on a range or in the feedlot, that animal spends most of his or her time searching for threats, okay? You know, looking at what's going on, seeing, you know, something or looking for something that's actually gonna be harmful to its health. So, of course, by doing that, that animal spends less time grazing or eating or, you know, searching for feed. So usually aggressive animals, they tend to have a lower body condition score, like Dr. Lake mentioned before. That's pretty important for reproduction in females. And also some genetic effects, and we don't know that yet. Perhaps those animals genetically are predisposed to aggressive disposition. They also are genetically predisposed for poor reproduction, and we don't know that yet. Maybe those genes are tied, and that's something that deserves investigation. But focusing on this whole physiological effect, one of the first papers that I came across when I was in grad school was from the Oklahoma group. What they saw was cows that were used coming to the chute, so basically good behavior, good temperament, and cows that were never came to the chute before, or just came once or twice. So non-acclimated to handling. So, you know, basically some excitable disposition. And again, they saw that the cows, the non-acclimated cows, excitable cows, they have much higher cortisol in the blood compared to the acclimated ones. And if you look at the mean LH on those cows, much higher on the acclimated ones, and the pulses for 4 hours also higher on those acclimated cows. So when you have high cortisol due to stress or handling stress and also temperament, can actually impair LH synthesis and pulsatility. We know how important LH is for ovulation. We did a study, pilot study, myself and Ronaldo Suri, which is a professor up in Vancouver, British Columbia. And we basically got about 10 heifers in barns, and we synchronized all those heifers. And after ovulation, we gave those heifers daily cortisol injections. CRH injections, I'm sorry, to increase cortisol in the blood. So again, before the injection and then after the CRH injection, cortisol went up to about 150, which is normal during stress response. And then 2 hours later, came down to baseline levels. Well, we saw that after the CRH injection, we basically blocked LH synthesis in those heifers. Okay? And 7 days after doing that every day, we gave those heifers a prostaglandin shot to cause CR regression. We actually saw, this is LH, mean LH concentrations of the day. We saw that LH kept going up and eventually went down. So this might be a sign of ovulation, that those heifers actually ovulated here. But in fact, what happened was those follicles, they grew up to 13 millimeters and actually, did not ovulate. Okay, they just regressed too. There was no ovulation. By giving those CRH injections daily, they actually blocked ovulation on those heifers. So why is this important to you? Well, not only may explain why excitable cows, they might have decreased reproductive performance, but the importance of proper handling during AI procedures. You don't want to stress those cows during that synchronization protocol. Otherwise, you might actually impair ovulation. So translating that to some practical data, looking at the herd in Ona, Florida, where I got my PhD at, Brangus and Brayford heifers. Looking at those heifers that actually reached puberty by 12 months of age, which was our goal back then, still our goal nowadays, those that actually reached puberty by 12 months of age had a slighter, better temperament, so about 2.1 compared to 2.6 temperament score at weaning, compared to the heifers that did not reach puberty. The same thing for cortisol. When we got blood samples at weaning from those heifers, the ones that had low cortisol at weaning actually were the ones that reached puberty, by 12 months of age. And those that had a little higher cortisol concentrations, or actually those that did not reach puberty by 12 months of age, had a little higher cortisol in the blood compared to those that did reach puberty. How about mature cows? Again, Brayford cows from Florida. This is the probability of pregnancy. It's just a fancy way to analyze pregnancy rates. But those temperament scores were evaluated at the beginning of the AstroSync protocol. And after the synchronization and AI, those cows were exposed to bulls for 50 days. And again, cows with aggressive temperament, about a 25% decrease in preg rates compared to those with a more adequate temperament. Same thing, same relationship to cortisol. When we got that, when we did the temperament evaluation at the first day of the AstroSync protocol, we also got a blood sample to measure cortisol. And the higher the cortisol, the lower the pregnancy rates on those cows. How about Nelore cows in Brazil? This picture was taken in Brazil from a Brazilian, so it's a much better picture than Rick Funston showed a few minutes ago. So again, the same kind of relationship, temperament evaluated at time at AI, so all those cows were exposed to estrous synchronization and fixed time AI protocol. And again, the cows with more aggressive disposition, lower pregnancy rates, about 30%, and the ones with good disposition, about 45 to 50% preg rates to AI, which is a pretty good pregnancy rates to AI in Brazil, okay? How about Angus Hereford cows from Burns, Oregon? Basically the same thing. In this case, we have cows assigned to a fixed-time AI protocol and then a 50-day bull breeding season. The one with adequate temperament, about 95% preg rates. The ones with aggressive temperament or excitable temperament. Okay, some people like to say aggressive, but not all those cows are actually aggressive. They're just excitable. Okay, if you think about the exit velocity, she's just running away from you. That doesn't mean she's aggressive. She's just, excitable. So about a 7% drop in preg rates, which you may think it's not that much, but it is. Because if you think about the weaning rates, again, a 6% decrease, this is always statistically significant. In terms of age of those calves at weaning, about the same age, so those cows, either aggressive or adequate, they become pregnant at the same time during the breeding season, about the same weaning body weight of those calves coming from aggressive or adequate cows. But when you do, because of the lower weaning rate on these cows here, on the adequate cows, if you do the pounds of weaned calf per cow exposed, which is a pretty good criteria to evaluate cow-calf efficiency, about a 35-pound drop on these cows compared to those cows. So nowadays, if you think about $1.5, $1.6 per pound of weaned calf, it's a $56 decrease in economic efficiency if you compare these cows with those cows. So a herd with aggressive temperament, they're going to bring you at least $56 less compared to a herd of cows with adequate temperament because of that decreased preg rates, consequently decreased weaning rate. How about the calf? Well, temperament is heritable, like I said before. So, you know, forget about the cows now. We actually measured temperament on those calves at the time of weaning. And there was a pretty good relationship or correlation between the calf's temperament and the cow's temperament because it's heritable. But then those calves that were adequate temperament, so this is the temperament of the calf, okay, not the cow. So the good disposition calves, they're already heavier at weaning compared to the more aggressive ones. And perhaps those calves were, you know, grazing less or, you know, searching less for feed in the range or being concerned about predators compared to this calves here, or actually more stressed all the time because you never know what they're going to find out in the range, if it's a badger, if it's a ground squirrel, or if it's a mountain lion. And those, so if it's, we sold those calves, we actually simulated weaning sales, and in fact, those aggressive cows would bring us about $20 less because of that decreased body weight at weaning. And when we killed those calves, the carcasses were about 16 pounds lighter. When we got the money back from the packing plant, we, you know, about $30 decrease in returns when you compared aggressive calves compared to the adequate ones. So not only disposition of the cow, it's important for pregnancy rates, but because it's a heritable trait, that's going to pass to the offspring. And, you know, aggressive calves or aggressive feeder calves, they tend to have decreased feedlot performance and also carcass quality compared to cohorts with more adequate temperament. So initial conclusions, I'm about done here. Still got 5 minutes, right? Excitable temperament is detrimental to reproduction of females and production efficiency of the calf crop. Remember, the pounds per calf weaned per cow exposed, there was decrease on aggressive cows compared to the ones with adequate temperament. How? In all those studies, BCS was the same between cows, between aggressive and adequate cows. They received the same diet, and the body condition score was basically the same. So actually, it wasn't a nutrition effect. We think it wasn't a nutrition effect. A physiological effect, we clearly show that those cows with a more aggressive temperament, when we handle them, you know, they have greater cortisol. We're not able to measure cortisol on field situations when they're out there grazing because there is no way to do so. So there might be a genetic, you know, factor here that we don't know yet. But perhaps those cows with more aggressive temperament, they're genetically, you know, less favored in terms of reproductive efficiency. And we don't know that yet. That's something that we have to address in the future. Consequently, improving the temperament of the herd and how to do that, I'm going to get to that in a minute, might be very beneficial to production efficiency of beef operations. So that includes reproductive efficiency of the herd, feedlot performance of the calves, and also health that I haven't mentioned here, but temperament has some pretty deep implications to animal health. So something that we did, we all know that when is the best time to train our, you know, fair heifers or heifers to show at fair, you know, or show heifers when they're young, right? There's no way we can train that 7-year-old bull, you know, to be halter trained. I mean, unless you're Brazilian and it's a good bull rider. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, something that we did in Florida and in Burns, Oregon, was to try to get those heifers a little bit more acclimated to human handling after weaning, you know, as a measure to try to improve their temperament and consequently their reproductive development. So what we did was we weaned those heifers about 6 or 7 months of age, and in Florida, this is part of my PhD study, and at Oregon, it's part of my student's PhD study, so which is kind of funny. So in Florida, we used Brangus Brayford heifers and in Burns, Oregon, Angus Hereford cow, heifers. And we weaned them at 6 months of age, and 4 months after weaning, we exposed them to, handling procedures. So 3 times a week, we brought those heifers to the cow pens, let them run through the chute, squeeze them for like 5 seconds, let them go. So they could, they could get used to be handled by humans and also become used to the handling facilities, and consequently, as a, hoping to improve their temperament during a handling processes. So what we saw in Florida was before the acclimation period, so at weaning, they had basically the same cortisol at, during handling, and after weaning, the heifers exposed to the acclimation process had lower cortisol than the control ones. And then you can say, well, Ronaldo, actually cortisol went up to the control ones. This was a really hot day, so they were really stressed. So it wasn't that cortisol went up for the control ones. Actually, cortisol didn't go up for the acclimated ones because of the heat stress they're going through on this sampling here. Puberty, and we all, I hope you guys now are a little familiar with how cortisol can actually, impact all the reprophysiology in the female, especially the LH pulses. Actually, the heifers exposed to acclimation process, The heifers exposed to the acclimation process, they reach puberty sooner than the control ones. And I hope I'll get there in time. There you go. Acclimated heifers reached puberty sooner during the study compared to the control ones. Consequently, during the breeding season, they became pregnant earlier during the breeding season compared to the control ones. And we all know how it's important to have those heifers bred as early as possible during their first breeding season. In Oregon, basically the same thing, acclimation. Before acclimation, same cortisol. After acclimation, decreased cortisol on the acclimated ones, so we're able to decrease that stress of handling. We also measure temperament when we actually improve temperament on those acclimated heifers and not on the control heifers. In terms of puberty attainment, again, those acclimated heifers reach puberty sooner than the control cohorts. So what's the importance of that? Well, I'm not saying for you guys to do the same process we did. It's, time-consuming and costs money. What I'm saying is when you're selecting your heifers to be replacements and you know which ones you want to keep, just keep them on a pasture close to your house. When you go feed them, get off the truck or the horse or the tractor for like, a few minutes, walk among them, let them get used to you, all right? So that should help you out in terms of improving those heifers' temperament and consequently their reproductive development. How about cows? There's no way you can do that with cows in Oregon or even Florida because it's too time consuming. And we actually tried doing that with cows in Florida and didn't work because cows, they know what they want, okay? They basically know what's going on, during the handling process, so they ain't going to be, acclimated to that. So probably the best way to improve the temperament of the mature cow herd is select for temperament. So if you have a cow that's open and she's excitable, there's no reason to keep her in the herd. If you have a really aggressive cow, she gives you a good calf every year, if you're able to, keep her in the herd, she should do so. But when that cow comes up open, she should go. By doing that, you're not only improving the overall temperament of the herd, but you're also improving the temperament of your offspring. And again, pay a lot of attention to cattle handling, how you handle those animals. If you don't handle those, calm cows properly, they're going to become aggressive every time they come to the chute. The same thing with aggressive cows. Those are the really need attention during handling because you can stress the crap out of them. So just be careful with that. So in conclusion, excitable temperament is detrimental to reproduction of females, overall production or productivity of beef operations. Independently of breed types, if you're dealing with Brahman, if you're dealing with Angus or Brangus, explain to you guys some of the physiological effects and also some potential for genetic effects in this relationship. And this physiological outcome becomes even worse when cattle are not handled properly. So improving the temperament of the herd will likely benefit production in beef operations. Consequently, selection for temperament or docility or disposition, whatever you want to call it, is probably a good alternative to increase or improve reproductive efficiency in cow-calf systems, worldwide. So with that, thank you for your attention, and I think I'm taking questions after the session. Thank you.